Blog Talk Radio.
This is Master Griot Radio, channel 13 on your NBBTA internet radio dial. I'm Jacqueline Taylor Adams, and I am your host for this moment in time. It's time for purpose-driven words, shaping thoughts, building minds, true wealth, communities, and legacies.
If my words had wings, they'd fly to you each day.
Welcome to Center Stage. We're getting up close and personal with the Black Business Space Value Tour. I'm Jacqueline Taylor Adams, and I am your host for this moment in time. I'm going to let you know at this moment, everyone, we are experiencing some technical difficulties. So if you're calling in right now, I can't access the switchboard. I got Comcast on the other line right now, and they're trying to get my internet up, but I have someone who's going to help me out. So right now we're having a few technical difficulties, so if we can just take a moment of silence, all right, for about 30 seconds, 30, 40 seconds, I can work with Comcast and I can bring someone else up who can bring up the switchboard and we can play some wonderful music by the featured artists of the BBS Value Tour. And right now, just want to let everyone know, we're focusing in on David Chance, and he has released the wedding and love song of the year, Love of All Time. So I know you can't wait to hear it. In the meantime, if you're by a computer, just go to www.bbstoolbar.com and download our toolbar, and you can connect to everything in a heartbeat. We'll be right back.
Company. Unfortunately, we're
all right, well, back here, center stage, and I need you to hold one more second. I'm loving you, people. I'm loving you for all being so patient, but just one more second. One more second. We'll be right back. Hi, listeners. This is Master Griot Radio, and this is Center Stage, up close and personal with the Black Business Space Value Tour. We are experiencing some technical difficulties. Please don't go anywhere. We're working them out right now. I got someone bringing up the switchboard. I got Comcast on the other line, and they're trying to troubleshoot. We are really working this out just for you. So if you could just hold another moment, I promise you I will be right back. Peace. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back center stage, and we're up close and personal with the Black Business Space Value Tour. We just finished listening to David Chance, featured artist of the Black Business Space Value Tour, on his new release, Love of All Times, from his LP, Unconditional Love. Love of All Times has been released digitally. It was released on February 10th, so you can get it on iTunes, Rhapsody, Amazon, and then any other over 365 digital outlets. And it will be available in stores on March 17th. So what we need from you today, this is Fandom, and we're here at the Black Business Space Value Tour to support the artists and to make conscious music more mainstream, to bring it more to the forefront. So what we need you to do is to call your local R&B and inspirational stations, contact them and ask them to please play Love of All Times by David Chance. That's Love of All Time by David Chance, and it's from his LP, Unconditional Love. And, of course, you can always go to www.bbsvalueTour in order to hear the music. And you just click on artists, you hear the music, you can learn more about David. Of course, if you download the toolbar, then you just get, like, all kinds of details. And we also have a free ringtone for you. So we're going to just keep on working on our technical difficulties, and we're going to get it up so we can tell you how you can get your free ringtone from David Chance. And what we're talking about today, as we wait for our special guest, our guest today is John Thompson of Juneteenth America. So he is our special Black History guest. So we're here to just engage in conversation about Black history to share. So if anybody is in the chat room, I'm giving you much love. Keep laying in the cut. I'm hoping I'll be able to be in there soon. And so thank you guys for hanging out. And I think we may actually have someone on the line. Is anyone on the line?
Hi, Jacqueline.
Hi, Edwina. Hey, how are you?
Fine, you.
I'm doing great.
Mr. Thompson should be calling soon.
Oh, okay, great. So, Edwina's going to, you know, if she can't, you think you can help me out in the chat room?
I might be able to.
So, you know, we're doing the best we can here, and Comcast is on the other phone. That's how hot this is, y'all. You know, Edwina, she is the CEO of eBiz Marketing, and eBiz Marketing is one of the foundation sponsors of the Black Business Space Value Tour. And those are some kind of sponsors that you can call up and say, hey, can you pull up the switchboard for me? So those are the kind of sponsors and people we like to work with, and that's what's so special about working with businesses within our own communities. And so what we're going to talk about is wait for Mr. Thompson. This is February. We just got finished playing Love of All Times, and we know that song is hot. It's talking about I want you to be my wife, you know, that special kind of love, and, you know, this God-given love, and, you know, this person is in love, and it's just talking about all of this. But what happens if you're single and not by choice? And you're here at the Valentine's season, and everybody's talking about love, dancing, love, and getting flowers and candy and this and this and that. How are you feeling about that, and how do you deal with that and go through the whole thing, being single and not by choice? I mean, do you go through it bitter? Are you angry? Or, you know, do you just get somebody to be with during this time of year just so you're not alone, so you have somebody on your side? Or do you just, you know, step through with it and, you know, enjoy all the other types of love during the season of love? So that's what we want to talk about, being single and not by choice. And what we mean by that is basically single because you just can't seem to find anyone. You know, there are some times in our lives when we know we need to be single and we're choosing to be single. As one of my girlfriends would say, she gets sometimes she goes on menopause. But what happens if the menopause is over and you just can't seem to find someone and you're getting older? It's really hard to find someone, and these holidays come around and these different things, you know, how do you deal with it? How do you go through it? And, you know, so that's what we want to talk about today, being single, not by choice, and dealing with the holiday season of Valentine's Day. So we want to know how you're feeling about it. So you can call in at any time. The number is 646-716-7994. Again, that number is 646-716-7994. And what we're going to do while we're waiting, we're going to listen to a little bit of All My Days. Is that up there, Edwina? If she has the opportunity to check.
No, it's not.
Okay, All My Days isn't there?
No. Oh, yes, it is.
Okay.
All right.
So we're going to listen to a little All My Days, and that's by my featured artist, Zenora, and Infinite Life.
I recall on those days I told myself I'd always be alone, giving up, yet life is full. I turned my face from dreams now growing dusty on a shelf. I cried for days for what, when only I can change the future of my past. I realized I don't trust myself like I should. I called above for help, and you sent me myself. All of my days, all of my life, so in love, you're so amazing. All of my days, all my life, so in love, it's so amazing what I recall. Southern days, I'd ask myself, is it gonna last? Stress and strain, yet like before, we endure the storm and realize our greatest joy.
Seven lifetimes cross the galaxies and stars to find the other half to complete my heart. Just for and why, though she was not very far in human form, this angel, she took my heart across the burning sands. Allah had us protected. 9 months later, perfection was manifested. Came before y'all to give you many blessings.
So amazing what all of my days, all of my life.
Right, we're back. That was All of My Days by Infinite Life featuring Zenora from their debut CD, prophetic orators of eternal thought, poet. And we're here, and this is Center Stage, Up Close and Personal with the Black Business Space Value Tour. And we're talking about love and black history today. And we're starting it off with a conversation about being single and not by choice. And then dealing with the Valentine's Day season at the same time.
Hey, Jacqueline.
Hey.
Hey, Mr. Thompson's on the line.
Oh, that's wonderful. So we're going to switch gears. And we're going to go into our Black History Moment. Because our special guest is here today, Mr. John Thompson of Juneteenth America Incorporated. So we want to welcome Mr. Thompson. How are you, Mr. Thompson? Mr. Thompson? Well, I'll make sure that we unmute him. And that way we can hear him.
Can you hear him, Jacqueline?
Hello, Mr. Thompson.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our listening audience always wants to know, they want to know the person behind the guest. So everybody wants to know, who is John Thompson?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, I don't, when it's time for me to talk about John Thompson, I'm not real good at it. Some people can boast about themselves pretty good, but I'm not real good at it. I can tell you some of the things that we're trying to accomplish in terms of.
Okay, well, what area are you out of, Mr. Thompson?
Area? Do I live in?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Permanently.
Okay. Out in California?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's great. And so,
What about you? What area are you in?
I'm in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. You're back east. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I'm connected. Okay.
Yeah. We're all over. That's what the internet allows us all to be all over at one time.
Wow. Yeah, we started a campaign. Dr. Myers and I started a campaign that talked about Juneteenth coast to coast.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Ronald Myers is the national chair of the National Juneteenth Observance Foundation.
Okay.
He's out of Belzoni, Mississippi. He's a practicing physician and an accomplished musician and also a minister.
Okay.
He's the national chair of Juneteenth, and he and President Obama has had a great relationship over the years as far as Juneteenth is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But we started a campaign, Juneteenth Coast to Coast, because essentially what happened was that people viewed Juneteenth as a Texas event.
Yeah.
And most people also view Juneteenth as a celebration with red soda pop and barbecue. Well, Dr. Myers and I, I'm with Juneteenth America, and I'm the founder of Juneteenth America, and I'm also the vice chair of the National Juneteenth Observance Foundation. And
okay.
Dr. Myers is the chairman of the National Juneteenth Observance Foundation. We got together and expanded the definition of Juneteenth that dealt with our social, economic, and political status in America as liberated people, as emancipated people. And took Juneteenth essentially out of Texas and introduced it to America as far as Liberation Day for the African-American people.
Okay.
We've had our challenges as far as that's concerned because, there are some people that said that black people were never slaves in America. There's some black people that said that their ancestors were not slaves.
Okay.
And so, and then we also had some African-American people who said that we did not need to have legislation to mark a day of liberation for us in America as slaves. Mm-hmm. So essentially those have been some of the challenges that we've had as Juneteenth leaders in America. But since then, we have 27 states with Juneteenth holiday bills now, including California, including Pennsylvania.
We do a nice Juneteenth celebration here.
Well, no, you actually have a state holiday.
Mm-hmm. We do a big celebration here. It's been
and
growing
Dr.
every
Myers
year.
Dr. Myers and I were instrumental in the Pennsylvania state holiday bill.
All right.
Being passed.
That's
so when you
great.
Talk about the power of the internet, that's how far the arms reach for as far as the internet is concerned. So we've been effective. Matter of fact, we did a press conference in Philadelphia. We sure did.
Yeah, I want to call his name, and please forgive me because I know him well, and please forgive me that I don't call your name. And matter of fact, the woman song we just listened to, All My Days, and Nora. We had did Ron Brown. He does the Juneteenth here. And we had did about 3 years ago a press conference for Juneteenth. They do one early to prepare for it and get the community around it.
Right.
And
right.
We did it, a guy named Tom allowed us to use the day room of this luxury condominium.
Mm-hmm.
And it's over the water, it's at the waterfront. So, out from the balcony, you can see all the water. And Zenora's a master grill poet along with another woman named Lois Moses at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But Lois has this piece called And He Jumped Into the Water. And she did her piece of We're Looking Dead Over the Water, and they jumped into the water. And that's when we first had met Zenora. And she sang. She sang her heart out, and it was like a wonderful, wonderful press conference for Juneteenth. And I think it was around the time I was really just getting to know Ron Brown. You know, the black community is kind of small. You realize you saw so-and-so here and all, and a lot of people had wound up coming together, but that's one of the ones, and it really has grown ever since.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think, Fishburne was on The View this morning here on the West Coast.
Okay.
And he said, and I think he was asked about the monkey getting killed.
Mm-hmm.
And his position on racism as far as that's concerned. So he said that we as Americans, both black and white, have had to deal with the atrocities of slavery. He said black people as descendants of slaves and white people as slave owners.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but both of those behaviors are shameful. Of course, it was a little bit more painful for us than them.
That's for sure.
Yeah. And so, as I said, and it was so powerful that many of African Americans are in denial of the fact that our ancestors were slaves. That is so shameful to them. And one of the reasons why, but many of us, has reached a level of status that we don't want to really look at that part of our history. And in my opinion, as far as our youth is concerned, and I had this talk with Edwina, that many of our youth display shameful behavior because of their lack of knowledge of their history and their lineage.
Mm-hmm.
And I
agree with it.
Yeah, and they make wrong fair seeming. They're going around and they'll explain the argument to you like their position about what they're talking about is absolutely right, and they will be absolutely wrong, but they really believe in the position that they take that they're right, and that's how confused it is. And I think they do that because nobody ever got with them when they were young people and really set the example for what was wrong and what was right. See, you can be a part-time parent, you know, and be like, you come in the house after you got through smoking a joint or hitting the crack pipe and telling your children what to do, as if those drugs did not affect you. And a lot of young people are products of those kind of parents. And then
a lot of those parents were young people, so therefore, you know, that's a discussion we had, and we're organizing. I'm part of a group of people who are organizing the first Black Teen Empowerment Expo.
Uh-huh.
That is actually going to be a movement. But we were talking about that because, you know, automatically, you know, somebody said, well, the kids, that's just bad parenting. Everything just went to bad parenting. And I told them, well, sometimes, like, in order to solve a problem, you have to understand it.
Right,
and if you
right,
don't understand what the core or root or the problem is, then you can't get to it. So if you want to bury your head in the sand, I'm like, sometimes you might think, I think I told Edwina, I just took for granted reading. That's just something we do. My mom, ever since I've known, has had massive bookcases. And I was in the reading. She would give me money every time the book fair came to school to buy books, and she took me to plays and things like this. And believe me, she's a single parent, nothing rich, but we had to play house in the park. But these are just things I took for granted, and you never really think about them until I have a stepdaughter who happened to be on drugs, and we raised her children, and two of her children had a different father. And that father, when I had to interact with that family, I realized, like, whoa, you know what? Everybody, reading wasn't part of their culture, you know. I realized after going back and forth, I said, I never see kids at the table doing homework.
Right.
I see pregnant people, but I don't see people running around talking to bellies and reading books. Like, we silly like that. My sister-in-law was into arts and crafts, and I couldn't do that stuff. They said, ask Steffi more fun. I said, well, y'all go ahead with Aunt Steffi. You know, then they tell her, oh, I want to go with my mom or Aunt Jackie, because we would take a family trip and we'd go to the museum and stop by the Wawa, get sandwiches, eat in the lawn, because they got the big lawns and all down there. And an outing might be a trip down to a Please Touch Museum or Franklin Institute, where they got all the planes and things. But we just did those things. But here, we're all in the same city, and it's real, and not too much economic difference.
Right, right.
But their lives were different. And then, I mean, and this is it's been several years, and, like, I just found out that the aunt, unfortunately, had a child to an uncle. So it was the whole family just living these lives, and they blocked it out. So they lived this crazy life throughout the family, and it's been going on for generations. And then, okay, that's why what seemingly good people do some seem unsavory things, and you just, like, wonder where it goes on and where's the breakdown. And a lot of times we just don't understand. And I think they take that same shame with slavery. I just was in an argument with a guy talking about, we're not slaves anymore, so, like, don't say anything about slaves. Don't say anything about people being prejudiced. I think his argument was, because I said, you know, I admit that I have an issue with the Anglo-Saxon white male sometimes. I said, it's probably ingrained in me. He said, you know, I'm being racist.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, can I necessarily be racist to say that I have an issue with the Anglo-Saxon white male? I mean, not every individual, but what the Anglo-Saxon white male represents, which is generally white supremacy.
Yeah.
And, you know, but he told me, you know, because all he could ever say, we're not slaves anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but see, that's all he really has to say. But the reality, I think, you said something a moment ago when you talked about the table and the importance of when dinner is served and having dinner together and praying together at the dinner table. It's like those are values that older people were raised with, that some kind of way today many families never eat together. You know, and you know, I think it might be because of fast food, too. And people are trying to get from one location to the next. And many, but that's a very, very important value is family. The family value is something that's very important for a people's existence today. And when you don't have that, well, then what do we do to replace it in terms of developing as a people? So how do we replace those kind of family values? Or going to church on Sunday. You know, not that I'm a churchgoer on Sunday, but but the example of, and it don't matter what religion you are either. I mean, because I don't think that, you know, this is a religious thing, and of course this is just my opinion, but I think people need to know about all kinds of religions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't. You know, I mean, it's good to know about the religion you're raised with. That religion, but unfortunately, we don't even research the religion that we were raised with. So you know, if the preacher says something, then everybody says, okay, it's so. But they never do the research to support that. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I we're still talking about Juneteenth, and we're still talking about the impact of slavery on our society, and the brother telling you that's a thing in the past. Well, you know, can you imagine all these companies that have shut down across the country because their line of credit, they couldn't maintain their line of credit anymore?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can you imagine being able to run a business on a line of credit and you spend your money the way you want to and do what you want to do, and then when your line of credit run out, you file bankruptcy, and then go next door and start it all over again.
Mm-hmm. Lord,
if we had that kind of luxury, but trust me, we would be a whole nother different type of person. Unfortunately, money has been kept away from us in business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and matter of fact, I've seen it systematically plotted to keep money away from us, housing, cars, everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these things happen to us because why? I believe that they, you know, they can say, well, your credit's bad, you haven't been on your job long enough, and this and that. You know, they advertise cars with no money down and zero
mm-hmm.
interest until you get there. It'd be like, hey, you got a blemish on your credit, and your credit is 15%. It'd be
mm-hmm.
like, how do you go from 0 to 15? You know, and you paying for your car 3 years longer than they paying for their car.
Yeah.
And we just haven't had an opportunity to play on the level playing field. And then, you know, and then when the money ain't right, you know, then the wife is not happy. The children are deprived of education and a whole lot of other stuff to make the playing field uneven. So when the brother said, you know, we're not slaves anymore, you know, the 13th Amendment of the Constitution happened as a result of the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. And the 13th Amendment said involuntary servitude is abolished in this country, with the exception of going to jail. Now, that means we feed the legal machine.
Mm-hmm.
That means that once we are accused of being guilty, we got to spend every resource that we can get and that we can beg, borrow, and steal not to have to go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that put us at in the housing market if we got a case?
Mm-hmm.
what the case do is provoke you to go get another case to try to beat the first one that you got. You'd be like, I got to go stick up somebody so I don't have to go to jail. You see, so, you know, this, you know, we have lived in this kind of environment for too long. And, you know, and one part of me is very, very grateful that, you know, we have an attorney general that will possibly make the doors of the Justice Department available to us, as it once was under the Clinton administration. But under the Bush administration, you know, those doors was been closed for 8 years. Matter of fact, they said take the Patriot Act with you too. And that means that if they accuse you of being a terrorist, they can take all your resources and put you in jail and investigate you. You have no, you know, they can list, they tap your telephones. You know, are you there?
Yes. Hello? Yes, yes. I'm here. Mr. Thompson?
Yes.
I'm here.
And you're so quiet. Make some noise.
Okay.
Say uh-huh.
All righty, yeah. All righty. I'm still hoping I can get my internet up, but it's not working.
But I'm saying, and under the Patriot Act, you don't have any constitutional rights, as you once knew them, and that was some Bush legislation. Just like the abuse behind three strikes. You got three strikes in Pennsylvania, don't you?
We have three strikes. They've had it for a while. They try every reason to enforce it, because it happened with one of my my oldest stepson, and I'm talking about he had tapping somebody on the behind was a charge. I forget what the other charge was, but they were none of them were major charges. But they tried to give him three strikes and he was out.
Yeah,
they couldn't
not
even,
that
much. Yeah, and so they couldn't get any of the charges. He beat two of the cases. And so the woman who happened was actually coordinated my wedding. She worked at City Hall, and she came over and told me that they had agreed to give him the third case because the prosecution department did not want to lose three in a row, that they were going to give him a case.
Mm-hmm.
So what she did, you know, she suggested that we get him into a drug program. So and he happened to be 17, so he was still a youth, and we were able to get him in that to keep him from being, even though it was a misdemeanor, but keep him from having to go to jail and, you know, being adjudicated as an adult or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we just had to do to get out of that.
That's the blatant abuse of the three strikes.
Mm.
You understand, in terms of it not being in terms of it being a nonviolent crime, and then who had to come up with the money for his representation, you know, for him to be represented, and so see what happened is
that was the problem, because we didn't have enough money for our own representation.
Exactly.
We had to take their representation, which means we had to eat that deal.
Exactly. And see, 99%, you know, when they talk about 40 acres and a mule, you know, 99% of the land that black people had, they lost during Reconstruction behind the same kind of foolishness that they're doing today in terms of financially starving you, in terms of your resources, the police departments, if they're after you, all they keep doing is just burdening you.
Mm-hmm.
They burden you with legal fees and legal cases, and, you know, and eventually, I don't care how prosperous you are, they will keep all your, you know, you have to use all your money to stay out of jail. That's how the system is working these days.
They're not just doing it with that. In Philadelphia, it is really crazy. Like, a lot of people were so happy for our current mayor that he went in. And we had two black people running for mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And one was Congressman Shaka Fatan, and the other one was Mayor Nutter. And Nutter was my council person. And I know he never did nothing for us. I mean, basically, if you weren't, you know, of the original people that stayed here, before blacks flooded our neighborhood, that he really wasn't doing nothing for you. And
right.
I couldn't see him doing anything. And he's black, yes, in color, but he's not a person that go claim any kind of blackness. And I couldn't understand the whole fever. So now he's in. He is cutting all social programs, the libraries. He's closing the free clinics. He's shutting down everything. And then he declared eminent domain. So now all the colleges, because that was the money. The colleges were behind them and big business. So now he's in North Philly where Temple is. He's to claim eminent domain. So those people had to either sell their homes for $30,000 or if they didn't, they were going to put them out and give them $2,000.
Wow.
And they had just clearing out blocks of people. Now, where are these people supposed to go? But then Dr. Claude Anderson said this way back when the 1990 census was in.
Mm-hmm.
Or when the 2000 census came, he said that they're going across the country with regentrification and they redlining districts because the whites wants to come back into the cities because that's where all the jobs are. They have moved out to the suburbs, but now all that commuting and traveling, they don't want to be out there anymore. So they're dilapidating neighborhoods. They're making them go down. Now we got this big thing where all these cops are getting killed. Next thing you know, they're going to be declaring martial law and bringing in the National Guard. It's like, because that's what Rizzo did. That's how he got moved out. You know, this is the whole, you know, like we've seen this whole thing happen before. So, like, it's real bad. They real bad people. So now, you know, it's like told, I mean, men almost 35, 36 years old say, being told, yo, don't go down South Philly, it's hot. They profiling. Because the cop got killed, and so, you know, you warned about going in certain places and all. You know, and this is what's going on in Philadelphia right now. And he's closing. I mean, I can't believe he's shutting down the free clinics, the libraries, anything that the poorer and the black folks use, they're all being taken away. So you have to have money in order to be able to live in the city.
Okay. Now, you know, let's talk about, and I hear you loud and clear, and we're still talking about the same thing. But now we're talking about why is it important for us as a people, to recognize our day of liberation. And it's also important for us to encourage white society to recognize our day of liberation. Because, see, the things that we're talking about right now, there's some segments of America that just could care less. But then there's a bigger segment of America that says, you got to do the right thing, and we can't keep conducting ourselves like this as Americans and expect to be prosperous. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so for us to for a change, to stand up and say, this is one thing that all of us as African Americans have in common, and that's our Liberation Day is the start. You see how it works now?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the importance of acknowledging Juneteenth. Because if it wasn't for that, then what would it be? What would be something that we as African Americans could all agree on, that we could all move in the same direction like that? See how it works?
Mm-hmm.
And so, go ahead.
Yeah, just so far as Juneteenth, and just everybody's full understanding, okay, we know it's a celebration of our liberation. And, you know, so what do we do with that? Because I know here the Juneteenth programming is, like, very in-depth, and they generally plan for it several months, and they go into the schools, and they go around education and the different things. So what is the historical and educational aspects and all that's brought to Juneteenth and that Juneteenth perpetuates?
Well, you know, I think it's different for each location because, you know, when General Granger went across the country to let the slaves know about their freedom, their liberation was all different. It was at different days. But the icon that we use is the same one as Texas, is the 19th of June.
And my birthday.
Yeah, huh?
That's my birthday.
Oh, girl. Yeah, she's a June baby. That's what they called it. But I'm saying, see, and so you know, you as a community got the idea. And all you have to do is just keep moving in that direction. See, because I live in a very fragmented community on the West Coast. And so when I have an event, like I do the Martin Luther King breakfast, and, you know, over my demographics is over 50% in attendees of officials throughout the city. So I have all types of police chiefs, mayors, and county board of supervisors. I have all these people that actually attend the event. And, you know, because, as I said, see, the mindset of divisiveness in this country is fastly changing. I mean, if it wasn't, I mean, Obama couldn't be president, and I wouldn't care how good he was for the job. You know what I mean? And so, and as I said, I think the Juneteenth is just the vehicle in which is one of the vehicles that we can use to help us arrive there. Because in that, see, it's easy for us to speak on slavery from the perspective we're talking about it right now. But, man, I mean, being in the belly of a slave ship and you know, our ancestors being defiled the way that they were—that was—that was all that was a reality, you know. And that reality is going to have to be looked at. And in that reality, and people looking at that reality and that atrocity, they're going to have to look for some decency in themselves in terms of: are we just going to continue that same trend in the history of this country in terms of who we are to this country today? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, so,
Juneteenth.
Go ahead, sir. No, go ahead, sir.
Well, yeah, I was going to tell you to go to the website, Juneteenth.us.
Okay. Juneteenth.us. Everyone, you can visit the website at
www.juneteenth.us.
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm
and if
be
you
able
look,
to go there for probably a day.
yeah. If you look at that website, all our travels are in it, all of our accomplishments, and more than likely, President Obama is going to sign a Juneteenth holiday bill. He committed to that in Chicago. He's been the Senate host for Juneteenth for the past 3 years. So without that, without his support, Lestine Byers has the Juneteenth parade in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a great possibility that the Juneteenth proclamation will be signed. Now, let me also tell you another thing, too. What happened was, that when we asked for a Juneteenth holiday bill, the Senate passed the law that said there wasn't going to be no more holidays.
Okay.
I mean, not the Senate, but the Congress did.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to ask the Congress to suspend that ruling just to get the Juneteenth holiday bill through.
Okay.
And so it's a great chance that America will have a Juneteenth holiday bill, and it will be more like the Flag Day. So it'll be marked on your calendar and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's some more work of Dr. Myers. And he's been working Washington, D.C. now for over 10 years trying to get this thing accomplished.
Okay, all right. Well,
And also look up www.JuneteenthJazz.com.
Okay.
And because we're also on a campaign to preserve straight ahead jazz, which is our original American art form in this country. Now you got all kinds of great talented jazz musicians can't get no jobs, can't get invited to the big jazz concerts, and they have substituted our music with their creation of straight-ahead jazz.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of smooth jazz, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of smooth jazz, but, you know, we have our original art form that we need to preserve. If we don't, all the musicians that started this and that's known all around the world, see, it'll be real easy for us to let them die off, and they will not be a part of American history, like many of them before them has not been a part of American history. I mean, you know, one of our great jazz artists has passed away and nobody ever hears anything about it.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, when jazz artists pass away, it's on the news for weeks and weeks. I mean, it's kind of like Freddie Hubbard just passed. You know, one of the great trumpet people of our time. He just passed away, you know, probably last month. And you hardly heard anything about it.
Yes. We have a playwright here named Joseph P. Blake. He did a play called The Cooling Board.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe was a journalist, you know, for some of our big newspapers in here for a while. And in that, the cooling board is a terminology that comes from down south. And it's like when they're in a morgue, they lay the body there before it's, you know, when it's being prepared, it's laid on a board, and that's called the cooling board. And it's a play about death, but death comes to different people, but death comes to a reporter. And death just can't understand why, you know, because to death, these are just collections. But they're like, well, why do you treat my light collections different than you treat my dark collections? And Death actually talks about the amount of time that's reported on a light collection and the number of people interviewed as opposed to the death of the dark collection. And uh-huh. The amount of time that's used to report that collection's death. And, you know, to death in the play, you know, they're the same. They can't understand why one, you spend more time, you ask their family and all of these things, if it validates their life more, and the other one, you spend about 30 seconds. So I just thought that was like, when you said that, there was a point that was brought up in the play about how, you know, just how our, you know, our deaths are treated, you know, and in the news.
That's incredible. That's incredible. And that's a great point. So, did you have anything else you wanted to basically run past me, or did we kind of cover the whole gambit?
I think we basically, you know, covered the whole gamut as far as, you know, the importance, you know, of Juneteenth. Are there any special things around Juneteenth, any special unknown facts that people may not know, or any special tidbits for Juneteenth?
You know, that's really interesting. That's an interesting question, because I think, one of the things that we're really doing is bringing the fact of the philosophy of Juneteenth to light, and not really focusing so much on the celebration as much as we need to embrace the lifestyle and start making Black history American history. You know, because as long as we deal with Black history in that respect, it's somewhat dividing us from American history. And so even, I mean, do you know, like, man, look at some of the stuff they're teaching in the schools in concern of Black people. And how about most of the things that they're not teaching?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
And so I think that's one of the biggest things that we really need to move in the direction of correcting, I just think that, you know, we need to be able to get into the history books and our story to be told, as far as the whole thing is concerned. And it don't matter, you know, how unpleasant that is, you know, as long as it's the truth. And because we all have to face that. You know, it was very interesting. Do you know why South Africa, for instance, when apartheid was abolished in South Africa, do you know what prevented the revolution from the white folks going out? I mean, the black folks going out trying to kill all the white folks.
What?
Well, I think it was Desmond Tutu.
Oh, okay.
That said, you know, we need to, you know, we need to come out and confess and repent.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do that and put our past behind us and go forward with our lives. And I almost think that that type of process needs to take place in this country, as far as many of the lies that have been told that has cost people their lives. I mean, you know how many, you know, a guy called us from Texas, for an example, and said that the medical examiner for that county did not have a medical license. He didn't have a doctor's license. Now, the ramifications of him not having a license and putting in testimony against other black folks, seeing them, how the police department or the sheriff's department, they wanted to see that. Do you know how many people potentially went to jail unjustifiably because you didn't have a licensed medical examiner? Now, you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Which really actually made them political prisoners, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, huh? Yeah, it's a lot of them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean, it's those kind of things, those kind of injustices that I think, you know, and Mandela stayed, what, 25 years?
Mm-hmm.
He was, yeah, he was incarcerated for 25 years. So, you know, we need to repent.
Yeah.
You know, reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that process will need to take place. Well, sister, I've really enjoyed visiting with you, and we must do this again.
Well, we thank you so much, Mr. Thompson, for coming here to Center Stage and being our special guest for Black History Month and enlightening us on Juneteenth. So now we do know we need to go to www.juneteenth.us.
Yes.
And what else would you like the community to do?
And
what else can we do as a community?
Go to www.juneteenthjazz.com.
Okay, that's www.juneteenthjazz.com.
Right.
And, you know, and what Pacific Movement? We get there and we read, but what do you want us to do? What can we do? What would you like us to do that would move things forward?
Well, we can also sign on to encourage the president to sign a Juneteenth proclamation.
Okay.
And then we'll see you there in D.C.
Oh,
now,
okay.
That's the reason to go there and meet him, because he's a long-time Juneteenth advocate, Juneteenth advocate. And he's understood the importance of the philosophy of Juneteenth.
Yes.
And so, but, you know, if you go to the website, then you can learn about us. Now, if you want to see me, you can see me at JuneteenthAmerica.us.
Okay. So there's a JuneteenthAmerica.us. Is there a Juneteenth.us as well?
That's the national. Juneteenth.us is the national.
Okay. So we have three websites. We have Juneteenth.us for the national. So you can go there and then learn about what's going on in your city. All over the country.
Yes.
Now, Mr. Thompson is the founder of Juneteenth America Juneteenth.us. Okay.
Yes.
And then Juneteenth has a movement to preserve our art form of jazz, and that is JuneteenthJazz.com.
That's right.
Okay. Well, we thank you again, Mr. Thompson.
And get on Dr. Meyer's mail list. You know,
all right.
He's big about his newsletter, so he'll keep you informed, press releases, stuff like that. He's a brother that is really to be admired. I mean, he's just really a fascinating person. And the work he's done for the country is just incredible. I mean, you know, I could start trying to tell you, but he got a long story. Now, see, I can talk about him, but you know, it's hard for me to talk. I gotta learn to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I'm modest. Or maybe I just, like, give it to the Lord, just like, well, I just do what I do because, you know, I'm programmed. You know, the Lord programmed me, so I just go by my programming. I ain't fighting it.
Oh.
Hey,
well,
man, that's like you talking about you. You could come with some fluff, but your bottom line is that, you know, I don't think you can. Can you talk about yourself like that?
Well, no, I don't think I'm nearly as interesting as most people. So.
Yeah, and I think maybe that's a good way for me to put it. But look up my website; you can kind of see my work and stuff like that.
I heard you're a great man. I heard that, but you have a supporter on the line.
Okay. Well, that's another. Really good sister too, Edwina. You know, she really puts in work, and she's a server. And I just complimented her on her management skills. That she's a fantastic manager.
She is. And, she's great.
Yeah, and she really needs her doctorates. She needs to be given her doctorates in African Americanology.
Okay.
Of how to deal with. How to deal with her brothers and sisters. She got it down to an art form. Hey, give me your key.
That's funny.
You don't want to do right? Give me your key.
Yeah, audience, if you knew that wiener, you know just what we're talking about, just what we're smiling about.
That's sad. But you guys keep up the good work. And, you know, let me know when you want to chat again and we can chat. You know, I kind of grew up in Philadelphia, you know, and North Philly.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, over on Bailey.
All right.
I'm not a stranger to that place. And one thing that Philly showed me that I hadn't seen anywhere else in the country was brotherhood. And the curriculum, and I'm talking 60s now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And early 70s. And I didn't know that I was from the Midwest, from Kansas City, and I didn't know brothers had that type of relationship with one another. And, I always believed that Philly was the city of brotherly love.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something? Until you just told me about that mayor.
Well, you know, and, you know, I'm not going to say Nutter is necessarily a bad person. Nutter believes in it. He's just like, you know, but he's one of them people that, you know, we're not slaves anymore. And so, and sometimes when people, when they take on that mindset that they have such an issue that the fact that we were slaves and they are always trying to fight not being slaves, then I find that drives a lot of what's negative behavior. And that's everything from, like, what happened with integration. It caused us to abandon our own communities and to do illogical things because we so much want to prove that we're equal. And we feel we have to prove this to the white person. And by feeling that we have to prove it to them, we continuously undermine ourselves because we're not truly accepting ourselves, and we don't believe it's okay to be black. We truly, intricately do not believe it's okay to be black. So we spend our time and ourselves trying to convince. I hear people repeatedly tell me, that's why I don't be going no business with black people, because one little problem they have, and I'm like, I've been doing, you know, most of our time we're doing business with white folks, and we have problems all the time. And if you really know people in business, if you're really in the business world, we're going to talk about some scandalous, some embezzlement. If you've been in any kind of corporate America, you know embezzlement and scandals and all, and they were not black folks doing that.
Right.
Being in business and being white does not equate to necessarily better service. And my whole thing is, if I got a person in my family who may not be acting the best, you don't throw away your family member.
No.
You might chastise them. You might pull them to the, you may give them tough love, but you don't throw them away.
No.
So, if it's a store in your community not acting right, you're like, yo, if you want to stay and survive, you're going to have to be accountable. You're going to have to do better quality, this and that. And maybe sit down and talk to them and find out what their issues are. Because some of it is because they can't get the same loans. They can't get the same lower prices because they're not part of the collectives like the Koreans and now the Hispanics. And then we have the people over the Pakistanians and all of them. They are given special incentives when they can come over to start businesses, and they have buying collectives. Therefore, they can purchase cheaper, and then they can sell for less. And a lot of times we don't understand those dynamics. But if we took time and not looked at our businesses and things are negative just because they're black and try to find out what the problems, as a community, we can really solve them.
Yeah. Well, see, the danger in that mindset of the mayor is, you know, Ward Conley, who authored Proposition 209 here in California and started reverse discrimination and stuff like that, and Supreme Court Justice Thomas, who was the vote that put Bush in office, see, those kind of people can be very, very dangerous to the production or they can be very dangerous to the progress of the many of the community and not just the one. See, they may take that that type of position because it's politically popular, it's politically correct, but in terms of the damage that kind of position does to the masses of the people, and like you're talking libraries. Oh, they don't need no libraries because they're playing Nintendo kind of attitude and mentality.
And it's only certain neighborhoods that all the libraries aren't closing, but in all our neighborhoods, the libraries are closing. They're even trying to close our regional library in West Philly, and this is like one of the busiest libraries. You know, like you gotta stand in line and get to a computer. I mean, that library stays packed. And it is in this middle of a black neighborhood, and it's on the Ave on 52nd Street. But you know that shows you right there. Yeah, it's in a somewhat supposed to be poor neighborhood, right off the Ave, where you know you can find your ghetto fabulous people all day long. But that library stays packed, and they have the best speakers and all kind of people come to that library, and it stays full all the time. So you're telling me, you know, it's different if you're, you know, where if you have libraries that are open, and I can understand libraries that are open and aren't getting any traffic. So, you know, you're paying personnel, the city has to keep that, and when you need to cut budget, I can understand, and I really recommend cutting waste. But, I mean, each library you're talking about closing are very necessary libraries, and there aren't any nearby, and they're heavily used by our communities.
Yeah, and guess what? And they can keep people out of trouble, too.
Yeah, you can imagine the kids that, because every child doesn't want to be in the street and all. So all of the people that, all of the youth got a great children's departments and all, and all of those kids that go there, and they do. I mean, I went to the library. I said my grandkids. I mean, you just do that. You got homework to do. You got research to do. Then you go there. You find good books. Then they had programs there at the library and. So you're always, you know, this is, again, something to do. And that was one of the conveniences about living in the city, because you do have museums and libraries, and you can, you know, it's easy to be able to get to a lot of activities.
Well, I mean, it sounds like you really need to start a campaign for that. And you also need to start a campaign against the mayor. Recall him, or something like that. If it's on the books to be able to do that, because he's pressing on the community pretty hard, and it's really about our survival. We're on the survival level these days, and you know, and that's not an option. It's like we got to survive. You know, we don't have a choice not to. You know,
They've been fighting, because if it was up to him, the libraries would all be closed right now. Because, I mean, it was a big uproar, just, you know, I mean, about people all across. It wasn't just black people. It's just like, you know, the thought of closing the libraries is like, oh, my gosh, we got all these killings going on and people being shot in the street, and you want to close the libraries and the rec centers. It's like one thing, you close the libraries and the rec, but he closing rec centers and the libraries.
But tell me
and the centers.
Answer me this. Is his information on his personal file, is that public information?
I'm not sure. I mean.
Yeah, you need to look up his background and see how often he frequented those places and how they benefited him. Kind of see what I'm saying? I would kind of start.
Well, he considers himself to be a DJ in every musical event and all. But, you know, his justification is that the city is broke, you know, so now that's on street. He's trying to say street broke the city, and he has to cut funding and budget. But just like things like they're cutting, which to me makes sense, because they're no longer giving out donuts when you get jury duty. But they were spending $100,000 a year in purchasing donuts and coffees for people when they came to jury duty. So, I mean, expenditures like that, that kind of things I can see cutting libraries and all, and, you know, it's the attack on the things that are being cut are very specific. When you have the free clinics, the libraries, rec centers, and the ones targeted in specific neighborhoods, they're not being cut like that in the Northeast. In certain neighborhoods, they're not being cut.
Yeah.
So,
like I said, I'd look up his background and see why he felt that way and why he's approaching that as seeing as it's one of the things that he would want to cut. He doesn't have the values to appreciate that. But
also he's backed by the colleges. Where he's cutting at is there's a college in every area.
Yeah.
And the colleges are, you know, they want the land, and, you know, this has been for years. So, and that's who backed this campaign and helped finance him. So, you know, that type of thing.
He still needs to be checked. But look, sister, thank you so much for your information. And please look up the website. And I am going to have to go to another meeting.
Definitely. And we are going to be signing off soon. But we thank you so much for stopping by. And everybody's going to check out Juneteenth.us, JuneteenthAmerica.us, and JuneteenthJazz.com. And before you go, just one simple question. If you had 30 seconds and the whole world listening, what would you say?
Hello. if I had 30 seconds and the whole world was listening, I would tell them that we know we really need to get, we got one planet, and we only have a certain amount of time to be on it. And we really need to, the beauty of the world is our differences. If we were all the same, we'd really be bored. And so we need to really learn about each other and to try to get along instead of always finding a reason why we can't. So I think I would try to deliver an international world message like that.
Okay, that's the Rodney King message. Why can't we just all get along?
That's right. All right. Thank you.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Right. Okay. Well, this is Center Stage, and I think we have about, we have six more minutes. So we're gonna check out another piece and hit up another piece of music. And we're going to be rolling out. If you have any questions or you want to call in, the number is 646-716-7994. This is Center Stage, and we've been talking about Juneteenth and the necessity of celebrating our Day of Liberation. What do you think? The number is 646-716-7994. And I guess what we can listen to is we're listening to Juneteenth and all, so I don't know. I guess maybe if we listen to a little bit, I Got a Roll. Can you play that for us, Edwina? Maybe we can roll out on that.
Is it called, give me the correct terminology.
It's Got a Roll. Yeah, it starts with the G. Got a Roll by Brothers Keepers, also featured artists of the BBS Value Tour.
It's not in here.
Okay, there's no Got a Roll with a G.
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, do you see anything in there you'd like to play? Maybe like play some Libations too, and that's only like a minute and 30 seconds for Libations too.
Okay, it's playing right now.
Yeah, then we can go into something else.
Exiting the womb of ignorance into a world designed to kill me at birth. I am protected. The Elder Council consisting of Grand Grand and Baba, Doc Jones and Mama Y'all, Lockie, Stormy, Annette, Antoinette, and Geraldine, Dr. Sobol, Sister Parsi, and Brother DeBril send forth the energy to make us feel our work is not in vain. Garvey, Harriet Tubman, Queen
That was Libations 2 by Brothers Keepers, and it's on their new CD, The Reeducation of the Negro. And you can find that at www.cdbaby.com/Brothers Keeper 2. And that's BROTHAKEEPA, the number 2. And what we can do, maybe we can close out on, because I think we have, yeah, we got 1 minute left. Let's just close out on Black Love. We got that, Edwina?
No, it's not in here.
Black Love's not on there by Rhapsody?
Nope. Not unless you've named it something else.
Yeah, okay. Well, well, since
Sam
we're talking about,
Sam Cooke.
Okay, Sam Cooke or Atlas, whatever. And we can just roll on out.
Alrighty.
Alrighty, so thank you, everyone. And as always, we speak for you. Peace and love.
But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me no. Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. But I know.